We're now joined on the line by the Fianna Fáil TD for Carlo Kilkenny and a member of the Dáil Special Committee on COVID-19, John McGuinness. John, thanks very much for taking our call this lunchtime. Good to talk to you. There were some calls this week that your committee perhaps should be tasked with trying to find a political consensus around 2 metres versus one, or maybe 1.5, on social distancing. Do you think it's possible to find such a consensus, and should your committee try its best to do that anyway?
I think that we should. I think it's possible now to look at the variations that are in use right across the world, we have the advice of 2 metres, but we require now political leadership in relation to this and a decision to be made in the best interest of society. And I think that quite easily can be done by way of the Taoiseach making the announcement, or indeed the committee looking at it very briefly and making a recommendation.
When you say political leadership is needed, is that your suggestion that there hasn't been political leadership on this up till now, that the government has been too deferential to the medics?
I think, yes, that is a fact. And while we have to take into account the medical advice, we also at this stage in the opening up of our economy must be far more clear in our message. If we want the SMEs to be central to our recovery, well, then we have to reopen in the course of June. We have to provide the appropriate grants and interest-free loans, perhaps, and other supports to enable our tourism to get back into proper trade, to enable flights and so on, and allow the country to reopen. A lot of damage has been done to the economy, and because of that, there needs to be that leadership which defines the dates in a very tight fashion and front loads the financial supports and other supports that will be necessary right across the SME sector. We have ignored it for far too long.
But what about the argument that although everyone wants businesses to be able to get back trading, and particularly those who are in hospitality who desperately need lower social distancing thresholds, what about the argument that if you raise the restrictions too early, or if you allow more people involved in a building, for example, or if you allow more people into a venue, that you could only end up then undermining the progress, causing a second wave and then having to go back to full lockdown again?
Well, you can look at the various medical opinion that is out there. And the words of Professor Michael Levitt, and it's clear that there are ways and means to put a plan in place to sensibly open up the economy and to ensure that the supports are there. That can be done in the course of June without doing any damage to the great strides that we've made in relation to controlling the spread of coronavirus. But we have to look to what society wants now and to what is best for the people that we represent, what's best for the economy. And if we don't do something smart and fast, bearing in mind the medical advice, but getting that balance right, well, then we will have a lot of difficulty in reigniting the economy and in getting people back to work.
But you think it's possible to hit a sweet spot that does that without undermining the health progress so far?
I do indeed, and we haven't concentrated enough on that sweet spot, as you call it, to develop a plan around it and to ensure that we are to the fore within Europe in bringing forward plans that are sensible and that make the economy work. We have to get back to our schools and our universities. We have to get the economy in terms of jobs up and running and competitive again. And we have to support businesses that have been left out in the cold until now. And if you look at what was uncovered in the course of COVID-19, all of those that are in a marginalised position that suffered, particularly the elderly, and particularly those that are disabled, and indeed those that are in the asylum process. There is a huge policy shift now needed in terms of looking after all of these people and dealing with the economy in a smarter way, minding our money and ensuring that we pay our debts. The fact now is that we are building debt on top of a €220 billion debt for the country. It's not sustainable, and therefore the plan needs to be put in place, coupled indeed with a plan for government. The formation of government has taken far too long, and it will need a new government to bring forward these plans to reopen and to give confidence and hope to the people that we represent.
Well, I'll come back to you on the question of a new government in just a few minutes, but one of the things that is adding to the national debt that you mentioned is the pandemic payment. It's $2.3 billion so far. Obviously, it's only a drop in the ocean in terms of the deficit that's there, but there are two competing views of it. One, that it is now inhibiting a lot of businesses getting back because there are some in the hospitality or retail trades who are earning more on that payment than they did at work. And yet there are others who say that you need to keep up that payment at its current levels because that's the only way people will have money in their pockets and that they'll be able to stimulate the economy. Which side are you on?
You need to keep the money paid in the way that it is being paid right now. But the quicker you get people back to work, the lesser number of people that will then be on that payment. And it's a balance, as I said, that you need to strike once again. But if you don't take the steps forward in supporting businesses and in supporting people to go back to work, well, then that payment is going to remain high. So the more effort you make in planning the economy and ensuring that there is a safe pathway forward, then the lesser number you will find on that payment for the future.
Do you support the proposed tapering off, the idea that it would be cut for those who are better off on the payment than who were at work?
No, I think that it needs to be reviewed in the context of getting people back to work. And it was always only a temporary payment. But you can't just cut it off or taper it off quickly because people are now relying on it. So you will have to make arrangements to ensure that it's part and parcel of the payments to the end of this year that enable people to move within the economy and get themselves back working again.
But do you believe the payment could be needed until the end of the year?
I do indeed, yes, because there is far too much uncertainty out there, and it's far better to plan for the longer period in paying that money than it would be to cut it off at a point where we're still unsure. If we open up the economy and if businesses are able to kickstart themselves more quickly than what is anticipated, then we will have more and more people back in work, more and more people trying their best to, you know, get back to the level of trade that they had before. And then that payment will naturally ease itself off. So the plan comes first. The falling off in numbers and the payments and the supports come second. And then you have the appropriate balance that will give the usual employment and unemployment figures.
But you don't have any fear that plenty of retailers in your constituency or the supermarkets on the high street in Kilkenny who are saying that they can't get the staff right now because the payment is pitched at such a level, you don't have any concerns about them being able to find workers?
No, because you make it clear to those that are on the payment that it is temporary and that it will be tapered off, and you support them to get back to work. It's easy for social protection in their analysis of this payment to ensure that those that are endeavouring to keep the payment and stay on it are actually interviewed and spoken to about employment. It's going to take a huge effort on the side of the state and business to bring people back to some normality in terms of where they were before coronavirus.
So what do you say to others in your party, including the likes of Anne Rabbitt, who were having a go over this payment, who said that it was outrageous and unacceptable, that there'd be some people who would be continually paid more than they were previously earning?
I don't accept that at all. We know that there are anomalies in the system. We know that people are getting paid more than what they were paid before. But we are in an extreme crisis, and you have to react to that. This was the reaction of the government in terms of this payment. You now have to adjust it. And in doing that, you're adjusting people's lives. You have to support the SME sector. So it's a mixture of getting people back to work, getting businesses back to work, easing back on that payment, and easing back into a structure where it makes sense to go to work rather than stay at home.
Okay.
And that takes management and political leadership.
You mentioned the slow progress in a programme for government. Why do you think that is?
I think that the parties are looking over their shoulder far too much. And I would like to see more speed in the delivery of a new government. And I would like to see a sensible programme for government that is costed and at least have a ballpark figure for what the various initiatives are going to cost. Because what we don't want to do is to end up with a government, create a new government, creating expectations that simply cannot be delivered on. It's far better to tell the truth, lay it out as bare as you can, and then to say that there is the government will require complete flexibility in budgets and so on, because we don't know what's facing us. We don't know if there will be a second surge. We don't know the amount of money that is going to cost to put the economy back in full action again. So a new government needs to be based on truth and reality.
You were a very vocal critic of the confidence and supply arrangement between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. How do you feel now about the idea of entering into a full coalition with a party that Fianna Fáil has so historically put itself against?
When that arrangement was made in terms of confidence and supply, I would have preferred to have gone into full government with Fine Gael at that time, because the confidence and supply arrangement has damaged deeply the Fianna Fáil party, and indeed the view that people would have on government formations. But Fine Gael were defeated in the last election. They have a 9.5-year record, a very poor management of our economy. And therefore, a new government that is centre-left will have to be formed, changing some of the policies of the past.
Do you think it's possible that a Fine Gael party in government can do that? Or will Fianna Fáil drag them in that direction?
Well, I think that it is now important that Fianna Fáil would drag them in that direction, because they have failed in their 9.5 years in government, and the people have given their verdict on that. So I would have much preferred a national government where we would have significant numbers in terms of the formation of government, the plan for the next 5 years, in the confidence that there will be no letdown in terms of that arrangement. There will be no walkout by smaller parties. And that's a concern in the context of the Greens. They will have to be fully bought into whatever the radical steps that are necessary to change this economy and to change society for the better. And I wonder, are the smaller parties and the independents up to that challenge? And that's the issue.
In your eyes, obviously, it would be a pretty big pivot for Fine Gael then to start going by a centre-left government if they haven't done that for the last 9.5 years or so. If, when you see the final programme for government, which perhaps could be signed off on in the next week or so, if it doesn't conform to that view, if it doesn't go centre-left enough for you, is there any prospect of you rejecting their programme for government, or at least asking your party members to reject it?
I think the members would reject it. The members want to see agriculture protected. They want to see what the 7% reduction in carbon actually means to them in terms of cost to farming. And likewise with, you know, tourism and its carbon footprint, what are the costs involved there? So if it's not a truthful and a transparent plan for the next government, you'll find and see that the grassroots of the organisation would reject it. And I think, therefore, it's incumbent on those involved in the talks. And by the way, you know, members of the parliamentary party have not been informed of the, on a weekly basis, of the up-to-date position regarding the talks, which is a failure in terms of informing people who are central to support for the next government. So attitudes have to change. And I know that Fine Gael, in terms of the some of the commentary coming from those meetings, they seem to be determined to collapse the talks. And that does not give confidence to all of us that are on the margins of this and want to see a government for 5 years.
Okay, we will leave it there. John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD for Carta Kilkenny and a member of the special COVID-19 committee. Thanks very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.